Thanks for checking out the podcast of the Church at Lake Travis. If you have any questions about our church, visit us online at churchlt.com.
We started seeing these couples in front of us that have gone before us, and we were like, man, they're really good at parenting, or we like that attribute in their kid. And so we just started having coffee with people and having people in our homes and just picking their brain about parenting. And so I'm really excited about this week and seeing these guys. Both of these couples, we've done the same thing with. They've sat in our living room, we've had coffee with them, we've picked their brains about parenting. And so do you want me to introduce the Harrisburgers?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so this is Charlie and Crystal Harrisburger. You guys know Charlie. He's our children's pastor.
Woo-hoo!
Welcome. And he probably knows more about your kids than most people around here. So I hope he doesn't believe everything they say.
Right? I believe everything
they say. So Charlie and Crystal have four kids. Their oldest is Wendy. She's married, has their first grandbaby. Pregnant with the second, about to have another one. So she's probably your favorite right now, right? Because she gave you the grandkids. Yeah. And then Zach just got married last month. And then Emily, who's a nurse here in Austin. And then Audrey is a senior here at Lake Travis High School. So they know what they're doing. They've also been in youth ministry a long time, and now children's ministry.
That's right. And the couple that you see sitting here on the couch is actually Ashley's parents, Donna and Wayne Lombard. And yeah, you can get them in. So Donna and Wayne have three adult children. You saw Lindsay up here leading worship earlier today. That's one of their daughters. Ashley is one of their daughters. Their son Wade lives over in Steiner Ranch. And together with all those kids, they have 13 grandchildren. And they're, five of them are mine, of course. And then so I especially love Donna and Wayne. And really, you know, I grew up in a broken home. And so I didn't know what a godly family should look like. And so, like, for me, whenever I met Ashley, I was so attracted to learn more about how to do this thing called marriage and parenting in a godly way. And so I'm super grateful for their relationship with me as in-laws. And people are like, we lived just like just down the block from them for a couple of years, and people are like, ooh, how's that? And I'm like, no, I love it. Like, I love my in-laws. So anyway, and this idea was kind of birthed just a few months ago at house church, where we were sitting in the living room and we were just having conversation about parenting. And we said, you know what, we're doing this series in the fall, so we should just have this round table kind of discussion and sit here and have a conversation about what it means to raise positive kids in a negative world. So, yeah. So, you know, one of the things that I think is so important is prayer in our own lives. And so talk to us, Charlie and Crystal, about the importance of prayer as you raised your kids.
Oh. I will talk too long.
Oh, well, I did tell him to keep it short. Prayer, my personal prayer, obviously that's part of having a relationship with Christ and growing and learning and just living out that Christian life. And we could do a Bible study on that for 2 or 3 weeks, you know, mm-hmm. talking. Obviously that is important, but there was the second part of praying for our children. And what do we pray for our children? And it's obviously, as a parent, we have things we want for our children. And so, honestly, I would pray those things. God, can they, please, can Zach just hit the ball this time? Please, 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 can he just, well, or just at least don't let him embarrass himself, you know. But then I would got to where, you know, in that prayer, I'm like, but God, if it's your will that he miss the ball and become embarrassed, then okay. That's not what I want, God, but go ahead and do that, because we have to let God work in our children's lives. And that's hard the older they get. Missing the ball in baseball is, you know, it's up and down, they're gonna get a different chance, but when it comes to who are they gonna marry and they're dating someone and you're just sensing, oh, this just isn't right, or maybe you think, oh, this is the perfect one. you've got to say, God, let your will be done. You know this child and you know this child's future. Please let your will be done. Even if it means hurt or disappointment or something just sad that happens in their life.
So, I think sometimes we have to be willing. It's failure, right? Like,
yes.
you, it's okay to let your kids fail. And
yes.
I've heard a number of people talk to me about that through the series, just saying, one of the things we want is to allow our kids to fail because we know they'll learn from those failures. And mm-hmm. and so sometimes it's praying with an open hand.
Yes.
That's good. That's real good.
I just have one thing that's really important. It's always been very important for me for my kids to have known that I pray for them and hear me pray for them.
Right. You shared that before.
Yeah, because I never heard my dad pray for me until I was an adult, like 40 years old. And that was a weird moment. It's like, whoa, my dad is actually praying for me out loud. And had never heard that before. Don't know if he ever did pray for me before that. Probably did. But it was always important for me, for my kids, to hear me verbally praying over them what I want for them.
That's good. That's good. How about you guys?
Well, along those lines, I remember one time Ashley came and said, it gives me a sense of security when I know that you and Mom are praying and that y'all are having your quiet time. So I agree. I think it's important for them to know you're praying for them.
Yeah.
Well, I have a great opportunity here to tell on my children. So, you know, when we pray, we have the Holy Spirit in us. He dwells in us. And I used to tell my children, I said, when you do something that is contrary to what we have guided you in, the Holy Spirit will let us know. And they would go, sure. Well, one time Ashley, we did not allow our children just to wear whatever they wanted to wear. We believe in modesty. We believe that they should dress modestly in the way that God put it in our heart. And we had told Ashley, we had said she was going to go to the beach her senior year with a lot of girlfriends, and we said, you know, and we had had this ever since she had become a young lady, that you are not going to dress in some of these bathing suits, if you want to even call them that, that a lot of the young girls are wearing. And so They abided by that because we were always there to be sure. And so she's getting ready to go on her trip, and I was looking for something and I couldn't find it, and I looked in my car, and then I went and I looked in her car, and lo and behold, in the trunk, I found a bathing suit for her trip that was not our standards. And so I didn't say anything. And she called me from the beach. She's so excited. She's telling me all about the beach. And I said, how is that bathing suit? She said, Mom, how did you know? I said, the Holy Spirit. And I do believe God led me to that car. And I told her, I said, when you're in touch with God and you know his voice, he'll lead you as a parent.
Good. That's good. We have to trust that for sure.
Yeah, so moving on to another question off of me, please. So this is maybe more of a practical thing. Something I know that we struggle with is kind of keeping that family unit together. When our kids are little and you can strap them into things, I mean, they have to be there, you know, like for dinner, like you're staying in your high chair and stuff. But as they get older, you know, we have a lot of activities. We have school things, and it just seems like we're going in a million different directions. So how, you know, not just as when they were little, as they grow up, and even as adults, how do you keep that family unit close? Anybody?
Well, obviously you have to have a you need to create an atmosphere where they want to be there. And I think, for me, I think laughter is so important in a home. And I kind of felt like it was my job to get the kids to laugh or keep them laughing, kind of the same way my grandkids, I guess. But so I think laughter is important in a light atmosphere in your home. We don't, you know, I don't think you need to discuss everything going on in the world at the dinner table. There's just too many bad things happening. You just keep things light, as light as possible, I feel like, and create that atmosphere.
Where they want to be there.
Where they want to be there, yeah.
Well, Wayne, most people don't know it because he is so quiet, but he is really so funny. So he did a really good job of just keeping things funny around our home and lighthearted. For us, another thing was our children's involvement in church. For us, we really put that as a priority. We had them in everything. If the youth or children or whatever it was, I don't care if it was lock-ins and we had to have them there at midnight and pick them up at 5 a.m. We had them there because of the environment of Christ that was presented. We wanted that before them more than what everything else influenced them. So that was, we just kept them involved and in being around Christian families. That was important to us.
That's so good. I tell people all the time that same. I'm like, we want our kids around Jesus as much as possible. So if they go to FCA and Young Life and Bible study and church youth group, and that's okay with us. We're fine with that because they're in other environments that are shaping them as well, a larger quantity of time than all those things combined. So that's really practical. Good.
Charlie Crystal? Is this mine? Did I get to answer this?
It's teed up for you, bud.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so we're not as fortunate as the Lombards to have their kids all living within like 5 miles, right?
That's awesome.
Yeah, we, you know, Wendy and Kylan and Beckett and baby-to-be are 10 hours away, and Zach and Becca just moved to Houston, and, you know, so a lot of it for us is how we're intentional in just communicating with them. It's also, I think, super important as far as, you know, okay, how do you keep your family together? I think one of the main important, like, foundational principles of that is that when it comes to the family relationships, the most important relationship is mom and dad. And when the kids feel that, that creates a real secure place for them, a very anchored kind of place that they will keep attached to. So our scene is, you know, we're FaceTiming everywhere we can, like, oh, you know, and so we keep track in that way. So it's a emotional thing. I mean, early on when we were kids, we weren't real smart. You know, we did a lot of thanks, Louie. You caught my little awesome. Louie's here to keep me feeling like I'm okay. But we, you know, one of the things that I guess would get our kids in trouble the fastest was the first thing was disrespect your mom. I mean, I'll kill you. You know, if you disrespect, you know, if you disrespect my wife and your mother, you know, you'll find out real quick that you are not the center of our family. And then second was, I mean, you respect your siblings. You know, they are your family, and there's a principle in family. I mean, God created family, and so you've got to respect that. And so they'd get in trouble when they would, you know, torture each other.
That's good. And you said some really important things there I don't want us to miss. And that is, you really emphasized that relationship between you and Crystal. And I've seen that over and over again, is that families that have healthy marriages oftentimes produce the healthiest children, the most positive kids. And so that's super. And you guys, by the way, Charlie and Crystal are going to be leading the Parenting on Purpose class that starts tonight at 4 o'clock, or this afternoon at 4 o'clock, over at the Keller Williams building. So they'll be talking more about stuff like that. And it's about 20 minutes of video discussion, and then or video teaching, and then about 40 minutes of small group discussion. And so if you haven't signed up, come on. All right. So the week two, we talked about how it's so important for, if it's going to be in them, that has to be in us first. And what was the role of God's word in your family, and how did it impact your family?
Oh, it was right up there with prayer and then the word for us. And we would go to the word anytime, anything we faced, we'd go to the word first, try to find scriptures and to find out how to pray, and then find scriptures to base our prayers on. So it's a foundation for us, and we used it. Anything the kids were going through, we try to find something in the word to help us pray.
Yeah.
And we, time after time, we saw God fulfill His word.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about that? You go.
Well, I feel kind of like Charlie. Nobody else is going to get to talk on this one but me. But glad Wayne went first.
Fine with me.
You know, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we were faced early on, as having children, learning the importance and the power of the Word of God. In Hebrews 4, it says that the Word of God is living. That means it's breathing. It's active. It will create what it says it will do. And so when Ashley... And I hate picking on her, but oh well. She was in her first year of kindergarten. You know, she was our firstborn. So she was perfect, y'all. I'm telling you, perfect. We just thought, you know, she was better than sliced bread. And we just thought she just could do no wrong. Well, she gets into kindergarten in first grade, and I get a call from her teacher and saying that they're not sure, but they think that she might have a learning disability in reading. Well, my world came crashing down. And so I went to the Word of God, and I found out a learning disability does not line up with the Word. I found a scripture in Daniel 1:4 that says that they are youth, and we would pray this over her. You are a youth in whom there is no defect. You are good looking, showing wisdom and understanding, and who have ability for serving in the king's court. And so we started praying over Ashley, scriptures like Psalms 1:12, that you, the children, that our children would be mighty upon the earth. We said, you can do all things, Ashley, through Christ who strengthens you. In Deuteronomy 28, you're the head. You're not the tail. You're above and you're not beneath. And so we would just speak the word of God, because remember, it's alive and it's creative. And it does what it says it will do. Well, then Wade goes to school. We get a call that says that he has a learning disability in math. We learned through this whole process that they had high IQs, but they had learning disabilities in these areas. And so, again, we just kept pressing. You know, the Bible says that we must fight the good fight of faith. Well, faith only comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And we would look at them and we'd say, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Yeah. And we just prayed, and every year we'd get their, you know, they were graded in those subjects differently than the other children. And so we would look at that in my, and as a parent, I would get discouraged, but I would go back to the Word. The Bible says He watches over His Word to perform it. His Word is forever settled in heaven. And so we just kept at it. And Ashley would go to school and she said, "Mom, I had a test today, and I put my head down and I said, I'm the head and I'm not the tail. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Into the seventh grade, I get a call from her teacher and she said, "I want to meet with you." And so I go in and I'm going in with trepidation and just trying to be strong on the Word. And they had already told us that children with learning disabilities never outgrow them. And so the teacher said, "First of all, I want you to know that Ashley is like a bright, shining light walking the halls of this school." And she said, "I cannot explain this, but," she said, "Ashley has no business being in any learning disability class." Within the next year, we got the same report on Wade. God looks over His Word to perform it. You want to say how college ended up for them?
Yeah, they both graduated with a higher GPA than I did. they were on the dean's list and all this stuff. So
yeah.
The Lord answered the prayer. And she's the preacher, I guess y'all.
You will never go wrong putting the Word in your mouth and speaking it over your children.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Next question?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. So, not, you know, if, but when battles come. And you kind of mentioned one with, you know, us, even if it's a child who's rebelling or a learning disability, or maybe a social, you know, hanging with the wrong friends that you're worried about. When that comes, kind of what do you do and what leads to that breakthrough? Mm. Or when that has come with your kids?
This one's yours, because I'll take too much.
Okay. Well, sometimes it's maybe a simple thing, and for us, we had to just be patient with them and reiterate over and over, this is the right thing and this is the wrong thing, and talk to them about why is this the right thing and why is this the wrong thing, and what do you think is a better way to handle it? Then secondly, I think sometimes you have to ask for help. In the Lombard's case, it was through the school system. For us, we had a difficult situation arise when Wendy was a freshman in college and then Zach was in high school and so on. And it really shook their world and it turned our family upside down. And we had to go get some counseling. Our two of our children went through some counseling, and that was okay. That's a good thing. Find a good Christian counselor to help them sort out their hurt or their anger or their disappointment. That's a really, really important thing. And as a family, it's just to continue to encourage each other. And you take it one day at a time. I've said that hundreds and hundreds of times to my kids. You know, let's just take this one day at a time. This is a new school and it's hard for you because we had to leave our old school. And it's all new people and it's scary, but we're gonna take this one day at a time. And you know Mom's praying for you and you know Dad's praying for you, and we're gonna be here at the end of the school day and we're gonna get through this. So that's I think good. It's just one day at a time.
That's good. So I know everybody wants to know about discipline, and like, would you say just spank them all the time, or no? Or are you like, keep them in timeout for eternity? Like one of the, so, you know, again, Lee talked about it last week with different phases of parenting, but discipline is a touchy subject sometimes with culture. But what would you say from your perspective was important when it came to discipline in your family?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we differentiate between discipline and punishment.
Sure.
Because we're always disciplining because that's a good segue into just this. Parenting is discipleship.
Yes.
I mean, it is just straight up, that's what it is. It's discipleship, Deuteronomy 6, all the way. So we're, you know, everything that we're doing is about helping them to develop who Christ is in their life and just helping them to see Christ as he really is and all that. So so some things, you know, discipline is just that bending and that directing and shaping. You know, so we just do that on the fly. You know, we're always, you know, as we go, you know, as Deuteronomy 6.
Huh? Teachable moments.
Teachable moments. I was getting to that. I was about to just bust that word out. I was like, about to. Teachable moment was right on my lip. So the teachable moment thing is huge for us. Teachable moments don't happen if you don't spend time with them. So you got to do that. You know, the punishment stuff, I mean, we never meted out punishment without first having discussed it with each other. So, I mean, so if they're going to get a whooping.
And so what you're saying is you guys had to be in agreement on
absolutely
what was going to happen there.
Yeah, it's like,
big deal.
You know, is this wooden spoon time or is this grounding time?
Yes.
You know, what's going on? And so
or both.
Those things. No. And Audrey will tell you, we were talking about this not too long ago. She said, yeah, you guys would go back into the bedroom, you know, because that's what we would do. It's like, y'all wait here. And we'd go back to the bedroom, and we'd be like up against the door, listening, trying to hear what was about to come down the pike, you know, because they knew that we were back there, we're discussing their future for the next 15 minutes, yes. You know. So,
how about for you, Don and Wayne? How was discipline for you guys?
Well, I always hated to come through the door at the end of the day and Donna say, you're going to have to spank Wade. You know, those kind of things. So I always think of that. But we did use spanking. But as Charlie said, there's a difference between discipline and punishment. Discipline, of course, is you're trying to change behavior. And punishment is, I don't see a lot of benefit from just punishment, unless you're trying to change behavior. And so I think you have to meet it out in love, and they know that you love them and that you're trying to bring about a behavioral change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we did spank, and but we used other measures also.
All right, so just wide open, if you could say anything to these parents that are here today, what would you say if you have something that you'd like to say? Gloves are off, like no holds barred.
Well, I know what I would say for me. Psalms 1:1 says that blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And I am so thankful for all of the methods and ways that we can go to and gleam and get encouraged and direction. But for me, there was nothing that meant more or gave me more insight and more wisdom than prayer and the Word. And the reason I'm saying that is because when we have children that they're all going to be difficult at times. And they're all going to do things that concern us. So many times we look to the world system. And if the world does not have God, then it falls short. The world is limited, but God is unlimited. So I would say priority, prayer, and the Word.
So good. So good. And I would say right with that is your kids are going to do what they see you do.
Right.
Straight up.
Yeah.
So what the parents do in moderation, the kids will do in excess in the bad stuff, you know, and hopefully the good stuff, you know. So, you know, we were just like, oh, please, Lord, help them to see something in us that's right and want that. So.
Ashley was telling me that yesterday.
Oh, yeah, about my mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, so growing up, my sister, we always laugh about this because we lived in Birmingham, Alabama, so you had basements there. And we would, like, hear Mom downstairs, so she would pray. I mean, I know you'd be shocked about this. Pray out loud and all this stuff. And we'd, like, open the basement door and be like, Mom! She's like, I'm doing my quiet time! I'm like, okay.
It wasn't very quiet.
But every day, I thought that was normal. You know, I thought everybody did that. So definitely what you model for sure runs off.
So good. So good. Awesome. Did you enjoy this today?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Thank you, guys.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Our mission is to lead people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ, and our prayer is that you are closer to Jesus as a result of listening today.